the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Today we climb a hill ourselves. We are climbing the Mount of Transfiguration. And standing high, looking around behind us, we see the season of Epiphany drawing all too quickly to a close, with all the glories of its light and splendor. Far below, we can see the Magi, who offered gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to him born King of the Jews. And as they fell down in oblation to him, so did we, and adored the Christ, the Savior, the King. Our feet and our hands, our hair and our bodies got wet in Jordan's stream as Jesus was baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness, as he consecrated and there set apart the Jordan and all water as a rich and full washing away of sin, and gave the baptismal waters his life and his power. We are cognizant, of course, that one day Christ's own blood will be mingled with the waters, like the blood of the sacrifices which flowed in the Kidron Brook. This blood of Christ wending down time and space to our own fonts. Today, on the Mount of Transfiguration, we hear the Father, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." These words also, of course, spoken at his baptism. There he was, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. And his epiphany shone bright, the eternal light. And we saw it and we followed. Today we are led up the mount. And we will not stand higher than we do today for a great long while, because we will continue to follow Christ, but not in Epiphany glory, but too soon, in Lenten contrition and repentance, to the depths of our own experiences, our sins, for which the Lord must do repentance, for which he must suffer and be crucified. That is what lies ahead of us. But it does not deter us today from soaking in the rays of his splendor, where there on the mount we see the hidden glory, the concealed Godhead. Today Christ wants us to know where he came from, so that when he gets to where he wants, where he needs, and where he must go, we will understand that it was willingly that whip, nail, and cross was to take his life. Today we meet the Father saying to the Son, "This is my beloved Son." And the brilliance of the light, his face shining like the sun, the garments beaming white as light, testifies to Peter, James, and John again that here was no mere prophet. Here was the Lord, the very one who spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai, who gave the children of Israel the Ten Commandments, who led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. But most of our lives are spent not up there with the three, with James, John, and Peter, but below with the other. It was Moses alone who went on high to receive the Ten Commandments, while the 70 elders, Aaron and Joshua, remained down below. Down below are no glorious sights, but there is waiting, however. And in waiting, what do we see? The children of Israel saw clouds and lightning envelop the mountain, the Shekinah. Yet this did not stop them from building a golden calf to worship. Their waiting proved futile. The disciples below no doubt saw the cloud envelop the Mount of Transfiguration, and we assume they must have understood the Shekinah, the presence of God, yet their waiting was futile too, for an epileptic found no relief and had to wait for Jesus to descend and cast out the demon from him and make him whole. Down below we struggle to keep the faith. It is the greatest struggle that there is in human existence. The challenge to believe what our eyes do not see. In a faithless world, we are challenged to believe, and our unbelieving friends, our relatives, our neighbors, yes, even our own fallen, depraved flesh entices us to build our own God, make him or her up, and such a God we control, we can manipulate, and we can worship at our leisure. Down below, there is also a metamorphosis. Down below, we have the metamorphosis of this kind described by Franz Kafka. The metamorphosis which leads to doubt, despair, and hopelessness. What I see in front of me in our culture is the end game of existentialism. All you have to do is watch MTV to see it. All you have to do is see sound and fury signifying nothing. It is from that sight that the true metamorphosis, the transfiguration of our Lord, wishes to deliver us. Here is our foreshadowing of adoption by grace. Here we proleptically see the glory which is given to us who are baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, what sonship in God means. St. Paul, immediately before our epistle reading, really got it right. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. From the Mount of Transfiguration, we follow Christ on to the Mount of Calvary, where he will defeat for us death and open for us the gate of eternal glory. And it is there we will see in eternity the splendors of the eternal riches of Christ Jesus. We have climbed the hill today, and we will come even closer. Today we will ascend with unveiled faces to behold as in a mirror the glory of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And we will receive what we hope for, and he will give to us our heart's desire, and it will give also to us the sustaining vision and the enduring hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.